locked up in their apartments, an average Indian consumer is focusing heavily on health food and supplements in order to improve his immunity to ward off COVID-19. This phenomena has definitely led to the increased consumption of modern retail brands such as Yogurt Maker, Epigamia, among many others. In a today's edition of Setting Sail, we have with us Rohan Meerchandani, co-founder and chief executive at Drums Food International, the parent company of Epigamia. Born and brought up in New Jersey, Rohan came back to India in 2013 to set up his first venture, an ice cream brand, Poki Poki, only to later move into the Greek yogurt category. Hi, Rohan. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Priyanka, for having me.
So, Rohan, currently you're in the US, right?
Yes, that's correct.
And I understand that you also, like many other people, got stuck during the lockdown.
Yes. So my family lives out here. So I came to visit for an annual family vacation, and thinking I'd be coming back in 2 weeks, I had my return ticket. But lo and behold, it's now July and I'm still stuck here. But fortunately for me, I have my family here, so I'm able to be with them.
Yeah, absolutely. And otherwise, you would have hopped on and off from Bombay to US, and because your business is based out of Bombay, right?
Correct. My business and myself, I'm based in Mumbai.
Based out of Mumbai, right. How's the situation there in the US? I'm sure you are tracking what's happening in India. This is a pandemic which the world is trying to come out of. So according to you, what has been the situation there? How differently has the US government handled this whole situation and the lockdown per se? Compared to the Indian government, if you could give us a perspective on that.
So I'm in New York now, you know, right outside of New York City, and I think that's sort of the heart of the pandemic earlier. I think New York has sort of now fared pretty well as the whole state and the city and the surrounding areas have rallied very well and really followed what's been, you know, informed at least until very recently. And you know, initially when this sort of breakout happened, I think that the fundamental difference was, I think India took a little bit of a more aggressive approach, which I think, you know, had its merit and kind of locked down the whole country. Whereas here it was still delegated very much to the states with some guidelines from the central government. I think as time has sort of transpired, the approaches have been pretty similar, wherein, you know, I think the states in India and the states in the United States have been taking more of a leadership position with guidance from central. So I think in that sense, it's actually been pretty similar when I speak to colleagues across the country, our team that's in all over the country, how different cities have different approaches. And I'm seeing that happen here as well in the United States. I don't think my personal view is I don't think anyone has no one in the world seems to have a clear cut solution. I think we have to just do whatever's best, you know, follow what we're told and see how this plays out. The unknowns are still very high.
Yeah. Have you guys started moving out? What is the status there?
I think a lot of people have. I personally have not. I think given that my hours are also such where I'm up all night with India, you know, you're the end of my day, Priyanka, even though it's morning here. So, you know, I think with me, I try to spend as much time as I can with the family and then try to get some sleep in, you know, during the day. And then so I could spend some time at least late night and work as much as I can. So I think personally, no, but I know, but a lot of people have started stepping out. They're following the social distancing and the masks. And I think people have taken some efforts to go out. I think more important to get some fresh air, you know, than anything else. And then, of course, New York has started phase-wise opening. So we've seen some restaurants open and things. But I personally have not participated yet.
Okay. And has the pandemic, you know, changed the way people live and consume food across the world? You have a huge business in India. How do you see this trend emerging in India per se? And has your sales been impacted? What do consumers want now?
Yeah, so I'll just say we have a small business trying to become a huge business. Very long way to go, but thank you for that comment. So I think, you know, Priyanka, I think from my perspective, we've got something that we call consumer behavior. And consumer behavior has its merit, you know, culturally, geographically. We see that, you know, India is one of the few countries in the world where a company like McDonald's had to, you know, tailor their menu in order to cater to the local palate, local tastes. So I think in terms of ingredients, taste buds, palate, we have a lot of differences, you know, especially with something like food that we see and that's inbuilt in consumer behavior and whatnot. But I think this pandemic has shown us and shown me specifically, given that I'm physically right in the United States, but mentally completely in India, this notion of human behavior. And I think human behavior has a very different, it has a lot of similarities across, you know, when we look at any country of the world, and, you know, and whether it's India or the United States or the globe over, there's obviously been a very, very focused, you know, sort of push towards what's happening inside the home. Even though there are a lot of places where restrictions have eased up, we see people stepping out, we see people slowly, step by step, moving back into the office, it's still happening very cautiously. There's not some run and rush to go back to the way things were, because there's still a lot of unknown and people don't know how to tackle it. You know, a lot of parts of India are seeing surge. Many parts of the United States outside of New York are seeing the highest cases that they have. And these are just things that people are not able to tackle, and how they're gonna play out. I don't think anyone has a solution globe over. So when we look at human behavior, I think the biggest trend that we're seeing is this, like I said, this push and focus towards in-home consumption and in-home experiences. So what is going to replace, you know, what you used to do when you used to go out to the movie theater, when you used to go out to the restaurants, when you'd go out to the coffee shop with friends? How is that going to be replaced at home? Can it be replaced right now? I don't know, because we still haven't seen a lot yet. It's a lot of unknown out there. It's only been 4 or 5 months of the pandemic. But what are some in-home experiences that will replace that? So obviously, one of the biggest trends we've seen is everyone's become a master chef at home. You know, everyone's cooking, which I think is fantastic. And we've seen an increase in surge in some of our plain yogurt products, because a lot of people are enjoying using that. It's a great ingredient to cook with. So like I said, while consumer behavior continues to have its nuances around the world, human behavior, especially when it comes to now staying at home, being safe, being very cautious, is leading, you know, giving credence to sort of this in-home consumption of products, doing many things at home that we probably didn't do or didn't do as much during the prior to the lockdown.
So has the sales increased? Have they stagnated? Has there been a decline? Could you take us through that?
Yeah, so we've been one of the fortunate few where we've seen sales increase for us by a little bit, and this is driven by the fact that, you know, we had about a 15%, you know, focus. 15% of our sales were HoReCa, so what we call alternate channels, so restaurants, hotels, schools, office complexes, like you and I have discussed earlier, and this obviously has become a channel that's now giving us minuscule revenue that's completely been slashed. That being said, it's been overcompensated by this in-home consumption, and you know, we've launched a direct-to-consumer channel, and this stemmed from a lot of demand we received from our loyal consumers during the lockdown, and they said, look, we're not able to get your product because our local stores are shut, where we used to normally purchase from is closed, so is there a way for you to get it to us directly? So we said, absolutely, we'd be happy to take that you know, approach and try it out. So of course, it's expensive to deliver directly to consumers. So we said, look, as long as there's a reasonable minimum, you know, volume, which we also were okay with in the beginning, because the idea was to do our bit and contribute to the food supply while people were sitting at home. So we took this initiative and we took it in two parts. One was to actually deliver direct to consumers at home. We launched a website. We launched a mobile phone driven platform to take orders. And then we also sort of played our role in contributing as much as we could to a lot of the amazing, you know, sort of NGOs that were doing a great part to contribute to some of these food drives for the migrant workers and the homeless. And we sort of took an approach to spend time on both those fronts. And that channel, which we thought would just be a temporary channel, has now become a proper business channel for us, which is direct to consumer, contributing at about 8 to 10% of our revenue. So it sort of overcompensated for the loss we had with HoReCa.
Are you saying that 8 to 10% of revenue is coming from your own e-commerce channel or something else?
That's correct.
Which is quite an impressive number, I would say. And given this number right now, what sort of a growth plans do you have for this website or app combined, I would say?
So, you know, I think it's still very early. And I think just like the pandemic, it's all unknown, Priyanka. And I'd love to tell you that we have some crazy vision behind it. I think we wanted, you know, what we're doing is, our motto, our company's sort of culture evolves around consumer first. We are religious about our consumer. So we go where the consumer tells us to go. In this scenario, the consumer demanded that they were not getting the product. We had the capability to deliver it to them. It took some effort to do it, but we did it. So we went that route. As of now, the consumer continues to demand that from us, and we will continue to play that role. When things go back to normal or what everyone's calling a new norm, if we see this, you know, sort of channel continuing, we will continue. Right now, the early signs say that things will. But given what we've seen in just 6 months of this year, anything can happen. So so whether this, you know, if you and I speak a year from now and this channel becomes 30-40% of our business, or this channel goes down to a couple of percentage, 3-5% of our business, I think is still just very much unknown. Right now, as we see things progress and we see what the consumer is saying, we very much see this channel continuing at least for the next few months to a year.
This is the month of July. Can you give us a sense of maybe June as the month? Yeah. Year on year, how much of growth in sales did the company see?
So we were between June of last year and June of this year, we grew marginally by 1-2%. But like I said, last year's channel contribution would be very different than this year's channel contribution.
Okay. No, I'm asking about overall growth of the company in terms of sales as compared to last June to this June. For that matter, I can also have a understanding of how much has pandemic led to the increase in the sales. So one, June on June, and the other one would be maybe March to June, or maybe a month on month.
Yeah, so April was a tough month for us, because I think with many people just trying to find out and figure out what we needed to be done, getting clarity on what's allowed to be locked down. We fall under essential services, so getting sure we, you know, our team got the passes, our factories getting comfort to put the right precautions and safety measures and processes to make sure that everyone's protected to start producing again. So I think there was a lot of effort that went in April. So I think April was, and I think this was across the board, I don't think it was specific to us, was definitely, you know, 50-60% of last year's revenue. So it dropped drastically. In May, we completely rebounded and we were back to the levels prior to, you know, as last year. And in June, like I said, we saw a little bit of a growth. And now we're going to continue seeing growth from last year, if that answers the question.
Okay, fair enough. So I would also like to ask you, the company recently closed a funding round, which was reported to be rupees 40 crore from one of the existing investors, including a couple of other investors as well. Was this just an internal round? Did this round see participation only from the existing investors? And why was it a smaller round as compared to the previous round of 182 crore that you raised?
Yeah, so this was actually somewhat of an extension of last year's round, and the logic, it was a Series C one round. Last year when we raised our Series C, we were oversubscribed. We had a lot more participation than we actually closed on, and obviously we wanted to be frugal with how much cash we raise, and also sensitive to the needs of, you know, earlier investors and our promoters and ourselves. This time around, you know, one of the investors approached and said that, you know, given all the uncertainty, you know, would you be willing to open up the prior round? Perhaps, you know, with everything going on, we still believe in the business. We think there's, you know, a lot of legs and this has a very strong future. And if you'd like to de-risk a little bit, we'd love to contribute and play a role. So we had an internal discussion and we all agreed that given all the uncertainty that we're going to see, which we will continue to see, it may help to have a little bit of extra cash reserve and, you know, have another high quality investor on the cap table. So we agreed to sort of do a small round, and then some of our current investors also wanted to participate. So we sort of broke that round up. It really wasn't a business need as much as it was sort of uncertainty and making sure that we de-risk the future. In terms of the business needs, we continue to have plenty of cash and we're continuing to grow the way we anticipated from last year.
So where is this money being utilized?
So right, it's like I said, it's more reserve cash, but we intend to utilize it if the direct-to-consumer channel continues to see the way it's going, which is not something that was part of our business plan last year, in September, October, if we think this has legs to scale and the uncertainty is removed, then we will probably invest behind that. And also a new product launch we came out with, which is plant-based, which is our first sort of non-dairy yogurt and our entry into that category. That's another category that we fast-tracked given this pandemic. So these are two areas we'll probably end up investing behind.
Okay. You signed up Deepika Padukone for the brand development last year. Are you a fan? Do you watch Bollywood movies? And how important do you think signing up celebrity is for a market like India?
Yeah, so I think with Deepika, our relationship is fantastic. She's not only a brand endorser, but she's also a shareholder. She's invested in the company as well. And, you know, for us, you know, she comes on board as a strategic advisor more so than just a celebrity. You know, she gives us a lot of thoughts. She's been involved in a lot of the new products, a lot of the new products that we're doing. We send her, she gives her feedback. We're looking at doing a lot of things together on the product side as well. So overall, you know, it's been a phenomenal partnership. We're just getting started. It's early, so we're looking forward to doing a lot more things with her. So that being said, you know, I don't think it's about how important or not important it is. I think it's really about how it fits well with your brand and your value and your cultures. I think in this new age world, it's not just about, you know, going out there and as in the old days and hiring a celebrity to endorse your brand. We're seeing so many celebrities today really authentically and genuinely support causes and missions that they genuinely believe in. And they actually connect with and support the values and the cultures of the companies they want to associate with. And I think this is a classic example where it was just a, you know, sort of match made in heaven in terms of the value systems and the culture that Deepika has and we have. And it was just a perfect fit as we all have the same belief system and the value system. And there, I think you've seen a lot of celebrities, you know, maybe even drop companies that they were working for in the past. We've seen that happen in the last few years because they don't share a common set of values. And I think this is something that we will see as a new trend going forward, where now with direct access to consumers and with celebrities having direct access inside their lives, thanks to social media, and celebrities now saying, look, we want to do what we believe in. You know, no longer it's not about whatever is, you know, sort of commercial. It's what we want to actually believe in. And I think you're going to see a lot of that going forward happening in this space. So I think the answer is it's not a function of how important or unimportant it is. I think it's a function of where the value system and the beliefs sort of match. I think that's what's more important.
I'll come to my second question later, but first, just to ask you once again, you didn't answer to the Bollywood movie question.
Oh yes, how much do I watch? So I wouldn't say I'm an avid Bollywood fan. I'm much more of a fan of sort of Bollywood independent films. I think one of the movies I recently loved, and not just because Deepika was in it, was Chapak. I think it was just a fantastic film. I mean, it doesn't really come into mainstream. And then I'm an avid watcher of OTT platforms, whether it's Hotstar or Netflix or Amazon Prime, and I'm just amused and blown away by the content that's coming out from India. And I definitely have gotten my entire family here onto some of the amazing shows that are made in India now.
That sounds absolutely delightful. And you know, I'm sure one of your investors would also be very happy to hear that, given that he's one of the Bollywood queens. This is not just Deepika doing this endorsement and also having, you know, investment in the company. But off late, in the last couple of years, we've seen that a bunch of, I would say, celebrities, which will include cricketers, which will include actors and actresses, actually getting into this business domain and investing in startups per se. It's quite interesting to see how these people who are basically creative people get into the business shoes. Could you take us through what sort of arrangements do these mostly have? Is it equity for endorsement, or there are more cash involvement, which also is a part of such deals?
Yeah, so I can't comment on what's happening everywhere, but what I can say is that I think, from a philosophical perspective, is what we're finding is, you know, sort of entrepreneurship within this industry rising very fast. And like you said, this has happened across, you know, whether it's cricket, whether it's Bollywood, across the board. And I think the key driver, again, is value creation for the long run. So, you know, where, and coming back to your point on structure, I think equity becomes a very important structure. And what's amazing is the kind of vision folks have today. Someone like Deepika, to me, is not just of the Bollywood queen, she's also a visionary. Speaking from, you know, her words, having skin in the game is something that she wanted, and which I was blown away by when I met her and we had this conversation. And I think what the idea is to look through long-term value creation for themselves, for the brand, for the company. And like I said, have that shared set of values in terms of beliefs and core beliefs and system value system. And I think that's what's very different from maybe what happened in the past, where a lot of these sort of celebrities are looking at themselves as value-added shareholders, the way maybe a venture capital or private equity would. Of course, they have a different, there's just purely a financial play with strategic help, and here it's more strategic. But I think that's the difference that we're seeing. And this is not something that's in India. It started world over. I mean, you see many examples in the United States of celebrities, like I said, not just endorsing, but also investing in brands and how that's played out and seen some serious sort of wealth and value creation over the long run. And it's amazing to see that kind of vision is now being carried forward by I think it's still early. It's still only a handful of the visionaries that are there in India today. But I, my sense is it'll catch on more and more as we move along.
Right. Sri Krishna Dairy Farm, this is one of the companies wherein you get supplies of your yogurt from. They have been alleged to have polluted the underground water of an area in Maharashtra. And I understand that the Maharashtra Pollution Control Board they've also issued a show cause notice to them. Are you still taking the supplies from them? What is the status of your association and how would you comment on this entire controversy?
I think the first question is alleged. I think it's very sad that the reporter who reported that story did not interview us after putting the story out. And after that has not updated the story after speaking with us. We take things like this very seriously. The notice that came in June of last year and we stopped sourcing from that factory. But believe it or not, a few months later, they came back and approved the facility, which has not been updated. And the paperwork is awaited over there, but we have received a copy of that. And we also don't wait for the Maharashtra Pollution Control Board. We also have our own independent audits that we do. And all our independent audits have shown that the water is completely clear and there's no pollution coming from Sri Krishna Farms. The ETP's discharge is absolutely clear. We've actually posted that on our social media platforms as well to share that with everybody. We received a complaint back in May of this year, just 2 months ago, from someone in the village. And even though it wasn't part of our routine audit, we do it once a quarter, we'd already done one. We sanctioned and paid for another audit, which again came clean, which we shared with everybody. And the MPCB, we requested heavily to come and visit again and share another report, but the MPCB has not been able to come. And they have said verbally to us that we went last year in December and everything's fine. And we normally do an annual audit. But we've requested them wholeheartedly because it's a cost to them as well to come and visit. But they've said that and we've got, you know, that in writing that we've requested them to visit. But they don't come at the women call of people. They go and they go when they think there's an issue. And the fact that they haven't visited is very clear that there's no issue, even after that article came out. So it's very unfortunate that that article, you know, was, in my opinion, did not take all the facts and viewpoints from everywhere and just came out in the whim. But we've given our view across the board. And I think the majority of our consumers and public have the trust and faith that this is something that's very, very, you know, close to our heart and something we very much believe in terms of sustainability. In fact, that's the reason we launched our plant-based yogurt, is to move in that direction.
So what you're saying is that while there was an issue earlier, the farm has managed to get the concerned approvals and now the same issue has been taken care of?
Yes, it was taken care of within months of last year. So the issue took place in middle of last year, in June of last year. By end of July, it was addressed. It was fully taken care of.
But you know, and I have also read this in local reports of Maharashtra that there have been pieces of land that have actually been polluted. Now, how does that get back resorted, or once if the damage is done, how does that damage can be taken care of?
Yeah, so I think again, Priyanka, I can't comment on what's happening in Maharashtra, other parts and land. I think polluted is a very strong word. Even if you look at what was happening, let's just talk about our co-packer over there. There was a discharge that was happening from an ETP. It wasn't polluting the water. The water was getting a little harder. Was the issue. And according to the protocols that the MPCB had come in earlier, and we had also audited, the ETP system was absolutely in place. Now, let me be very clear. The plant has two separate sections. We don't deal with the other section. We deal with our section. It's our facility, which we work with our plant. Our facility where Greek yogurt is made has been completely 100% clear from the beginning, and it continues to be. So even while we decided to not source from them for a short period of time last year, it still had nothing to do with our manufacturing or our Greek yogurt. There was another section where there were other manufacturing going on, where there was a discharge that was happening, which, by the way, there's a scientific paper that's been quoted, and I can share that with you, that says some of this discharge that comes from paneer actually helps the soil and enrich the soil. So our co-packer had no intent to pollute, if that's the question. What ended up happening is some of the water became hard, and therefore the MPCB came in and said that we suspect this is what's happening and we want you to stop this immediately until you upgrade the ETP system. The ETP system was upgraded within a matter of weeks. And like I said, we went right back to doing business once we got internal clearances, and we were convinced that that's what it was. So I don't know what's happening at rest of Maharashtra. I can't comment. It's a very sore point for us, because this is something that not only are we not aware of or acting on, and none of this has been come out in the press, that what the actions we took, but it was, you know, just article was put out there without even taking a comment from people that you were accusing, which I thought was very unfair.
Okay, fair enough. So it's good that it's coming from you, and clarity always helps, because I'm sure that not every publication would have taken note of this, and I think this will be a platform through which a lot of clarity will go to the masses.
Yeah, so, and I'll just add that immediately after that came out, we shared our report, on an immediate basis, because we had, even while that one complaint had come, we had done an audit. We also reached out to the villagers. We also reached out through an NGO to see, is there something we were missing? And nothing came back. Everything came back clear. So it wasn't that we just sat, we've been actively acting on this. And it's very hard to just take one or two people's words and you know, sort of just let some kind of article out there really be a voice for what's really happening in that village. We also requested the reporter to come and visit, and that hasn't happened yet either.
Okay. I'm sure a lot of this stuff ending, and maybe this pandemic has also added to some bit of that logistical gap. But coming back to the marketing bit, I would like to ask you, at a time when, you know, most of the companies have actually slashed their marketing costs, companies like yours, which has actually been benefited, I would say, during this period, have you tried to increase your marketing costs? Is that what was required during this period?
So, you know, Priyanka, one of our main costs of marketing is sampling. And what that means is, we are big believers in our product, and we believe that whenever anyone tastes our product, we're able to convert them. And that's something we've always stood by and focused on. Now, given that, you know, people are staying at home and, you know, we're not able to sample the product, whether it's in airports, hotels, restaurants, or even out in the stores, in the grocery stores, whether it's modern trade, general trade, or Kirana, therefore our marketing costs have been slashed automatically. So that's where, we've been able to, it's automatically been slashed because we're not able to spend through sampling, because we love to spend on people, trying our product. That being said, setting up the direct-to-consumer required a little bit of awareness, so we decided to offset that by spending a little bit there. But overall, our marketing costs have come down because of the sampling aspect.
Okay. But having said that, are there more product launches in the pipeline? I'm sure the plant-based yogurt is something a lot of people are looking forward to. But is there any learnings that you've had during this pandemic? Has there been any specific demand that the consumers have been looking at? And will you be looking to cater to those demands?
Yeah, so I think we've seen a huge demand for our probiotic products. So, you know, whether it's the artisanal curd, the Greek yogurt, and even our plant-based is probiotic. I think there seems to be a lot of conversation around immunity and gut health. And, fortunately, we have great products that address both those aspects. So that's what we've sort of played in. And we have a huge range of products coming around in that sense, in this sort of probiotic range, as well as more and more plant-based.
All right, then on that note, Rohan, I would really like to thank you for taking time out for us.
Thank you so much, Priyanka. I really appreciate you taking the time as well. Pleasure to do this.
Absolutely. So that's all that we have for this episode of Setting Sail. Meanwhile, if you have any comments or queries, you can write down to us. Our email ID is mcpodcast@nw18.com. You can also follow us on Twitter with our user IDs @moneycontrolcom and @PriyankaSahai. Till then, for more news, views and updates, stay logged on to moneycontrol.com.